home, I've got a book on my shelf that I've never ever read, but I keep meaning to read. And it says these words. It says this. The title is, I'm fine with God, it's just Christians that I can't stand. I'm fine with God, but it's just Christians that I can't stand. And you know what? Sometimes that resonates with me. Sometimes I feel that way. And sometimes we could be at church and we've been a little bit upset. I love church. I believe in church. I believe it is Jesus' idea, and I speak about that quite a lot. But also, I believe that church is more than an organization. I believe that church is a family. You know, in our church and our headed papers, if ever I write you a letter or write a letter to anybody officially as part of our church, it has these words, Burslem Elim Church, a family where there's always room for one more. Because it's something that I'm passionate about. It's something that I really believe needs to be part of our church culture. It's something that needs to be part of who we are as a church, to be a family together. And this is so that one of our cultural values we're going to really want to instill in our church is this. We want to be a family-centered church. And that doesn't mean like one or two families. That means everybody feeling like they're part of the family, feeling part of the furniture. And the way we phrased it is this. We want to be a family-centered church. We are a family, not an organization or a religion. We are a family, not an organization or religion. You know, it can be so easy to think of church just being about the building. And hopefully one thing we've realized in the last couple of months is that church is more than a building. Church is about people meeting and connecting together and encouraging each other. We need to be centered around this. People feeling like they belong here. You know, Jesus talked about God being our Father. All the way through Jesus's the Gospels and Jesus's words, he kept coming back to this idea that God was our Father. You know, when we say the Lord's Prayer, we start with the idea of our Father who art in heaven. Our Father in heaven. When we read Ephesians chapter 1, Paul talks about the fact that we're adopted into God's family. In Galatians, it says we call God Abba. Now, the word Abba is like daddy, or in Farsi it'll be Baba. Really close, intimate word. It's only something that you call your father, your dad, who you're really close to. So we're all part of this family together. We're all adopted into God's family. Therefore, the thing we shouldn't be as a church is become like a religious organization or become like some bigger organization. We should always keep the flavor that we're family together. You know, Jesus said these words, and they're great words. I love them. It says this in Matthew 12, verse 48 to 50. He says, "Who is my mother? And who are my brothers?" Pointing to his disciples. He said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother, my sister, and my mother." And you know what? This verse is really, really clear here. The implications are really clear. That we're a family of God together. We are brothers and sisters together. We're mothers and fathers together. We're there to encourage each other. You know, in the past, you used to refer to your adopted family as your step family. We now use the word blended family because it sounds better, but it used to be step family. And if my daughter, Bethany, she loves watching Disney films, and we're always watching these cartoons over and over and over again. But the problem with the idea of step family is if you watch Disney cartoons, step family isn't a good thing. Step family gets a bad idea. So you look at Cinderella. Cinderella was a girl with her dad. She loses her mum. Her dad marries another lady, and she has two daughters. And when her father dies, her stepmother and her stepsisters, they treat her really, really badly. Then we got Snow White, whose father dies. And her stepmom tries to kill her. Have you ever noticed this with Disney films, or is it just me? So she runs after her to get her killed. Then we have Hansel and Gretel, where the stepmom keeps trying to get the dad to leave the two children in the woods by themselves to be eaten by wild animals. The fairy tales are great, aren't they? They're getting scarier and scarier as they go. And you know what? Sometimes the church, we can be a bit like the stepmothers who don't do a great job, or a little bit evil sometimes on these, in these films. You know, we can try and use people for what we can get. Church can be all about us, what we can, how it can help us. Church is all about an organization for us sometimes, about going to places. But we're not called to be step family. We're called to be real family together, loving each other and encouraging each other. Colossians 3 says this. I thought it was going to be on the screen. It's not popping up there. Colossians 3 verse 12 to 14 says this. Therefore, as children of God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, with kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against somebody, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. I love that verse because they show how we should be living together in a family. And I'm going to unpack it in a minute. But the other day, I was speaking to someone on the phone, someone part of our church, and they were really struggling. And they said to me this, they said, Jim, you know your family. You are like my brother. And that for me was the ultimate compliment I've ever been given in ministry. And a few people have said it to me. But you know what? That's what it's about. It's about being a family where we're brothers and sisters together, helping each other out, encouraging each other. And I just want to encourage us as a church to constantly be about being a family where there's always room for one more person to join us. And I just very quickly want to unpack what for me being a family is. What does this actually mean to be a family where one person, always room for one more person? The first thing is this, and I want to use the idea of healthy families. So how do we be a healthy family and not a religious group or just an organization? The first thing is this: healthy families love each other without the expectation that they of getting something in return. Healthy families love each other without the expectation of what they can get in return. You know, this is really, really important, because if we want to be a family as a church, or and not an organization or just something that we do, we need to be about helping other people, serving other people. You know, sometimes people treat church like this. They treat it like a shop. You know, they sort of go to different churches and see what church gives them the most, what they can sort of get the most from the church. And often they'll say, people say stuff to me like, oh, I didn't like that church. I didn't get anything from it. And that's not what church is about. Imagine saying to your family, oh, I don't like you because I don't get anything from you. I know my children sometimes think that way when I don't buy them the stuff that they want. But that's not what church is about. Church is about connecting together as a family. It's about being part of an extended family. And you know the problem with extended family? Is sometimes in extended families and our big families, there's things we don't like about our family. Isn't that true? Or is that just me? If my family are listening, I apologize. But it's really, really important that we don't just be about what we can get in return, because that's not a healthy family. You know, Paul says here in Colossians, the passage you just read, he said, clothe yourself with humility. Humility means you don't think that you're that important, that church is all about you. Humility means you try and serve and love other people, and you treat them well. You know, as a church, we need to encourage each other as a family. We need to support each other to achieve each other's potential. We need to celebrate when things are going really well. We need to celebrate with each other. When people are struggling, we need to cry with them. We need to encourage them. We need to say it's okay. We need to encourage our children, all the kids in the church, to achieve their potential. It's what a healthy family does. If church is about you and what you can get, then Burslem Elam is definitely not the church. But church should be about what we can give, how we can help other people and treat them as a family. The next thing that's important for healthy families is this. Healthy families learn to receive love and accept being loved. This sounds really silly, but loads and loads of people, they say they love other people. They don't really love other people. We use that word love really loosely. Or the other thing we struggle to do is sometimes we don't feel love ourselves. We don't feel that we're worthy of love, so we can't love other people. You know, a guy called David Augsburger, I've just read his book, Caring to Confront, and he said one of the most important things to build good relationships is to learn to be loved. You know, if you feel that you need to earn love in church, then you'll always be trying to earn people's approval. And when you don't get it through your actions, you'll be hurt and feel rejected. Because families love other people, but they also receive love. You know, my little girl, Bethany, sitting in the balcony there, she loves a cuddle. And sometimes when things are going hard, all she wants is just a cuddle and just to know that she's loved. Sophia's the same. She won't admit it, but she's the same. And she just wants a hug sometimes. And sometimes when our kids are really struggling, they'll run away from me and say, "Don't leave me alone, Dad, leave me alone." When all they need is a hug. And all they need to do is be loved and accept the love that they get. You know, 1 John 4 verse 10 to 11, my wife loves this passage. We had it at our wedding. It says this: "This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." And I love this concept that we don't love each other because we've got loads of love to give. We do have love to give. But the main reason we love each other is because God first loved us. And the biggest thing you need to know in your life is that God loves you. Because once you're accepted and you're loved by God, you're no longer just trying to impress people. And when they reject you, it doesn't hurt quite as badly. It still hurts. We need to accept God's love, and we need to accept the love of other people. The next one is this: healthy families give time to listen to each other's thoughts and concerns. You know, in families, sometimes we have fights. I'm sure your families don't have any fights. But often it's about, oh, what I want, what I want, what I want. And actually, you know, the really good thing about being a healthy family is that you listen to each other. It's not all about you, but it's encouraging each other and listening to what each other thinks. You know, Paul says in that passage in Colossians 3, he says this. He says, "Clothe yourself with compassion and kindness. And there is no greater compassion and kindness than listening to somebody else and saying that you care. It shows that you care. It shows that you love them by being prepared to listen to them." You know, at dinner time in our family, we sit down together for most dinner times. And we just talk together. We just encourage each other. And we just try and listen to each other. It doesn't always go well, but we try our best to make it happen. Because it's just really important that we listen to each other. And that's what a healthy family does. The next thing is this: healthy families forgive. I've told my kids that a few times. I keep saying to them, if you have an argument, you forgive. And I think we pretty much know that, didn't he? Jesus forgave us for a lot worse than we have to forgive other people. And the final thing is this. I'm coming into close, so you can wake up soon. Healthy families love, even when they hurt and frustrated. You know, when my kids do something wrong, I'll go up to them and then say, "You know what? Even though you messed up, even though you made a mistake, I still love you. I still love you." You know, that's so important, because there's so many families that I know that I've spoke to people about in church and ministry where they've had a fallout. When they've had a fallout, they no longer talk together, and it's really sad. And Christmas comes around and they remember the families that aren't talking, and they remember the relationships that have been broken. You know, healthy families, they don't cut their other family members off. Even when they're hurt and they're frustrated, they still love the other person who's upset them, and they still work at restoring the relationship. You know, Paul talks about in that passage in Colossians 3, he talks about forgiveness. He talks about loving. He talks about giving people a chance. That's so important. Because when we commit to each other and we say we love you even though you've hurt me, even though you're not perfect, we're choosing to commit and we're saying that this church is our family. There's one pastor I follow quite a lot called Jared Cooper, and he once said these. He said, if you've had a fallout in church and you've had a disagreement with somebody and you chose to stay, that is the day you became a member of that church. When you've had a fallout with somebody, you chose to stay, that is the time when you became a member of that church. That is what being a family-centered church is about. Let's be a family-centered church, not a religion or an organization.